In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, as you know, today is Mission Sunday, so it is the mind of the church that we reflect upon the missionary call of the church to spread the gospel everywhere. And I remind you, what is the meaning of the word gospel? It really means the good news. And what is that good news? The good news is that God came down to earth, suffered and died for our sins to redeem us. He gave us a church to which to belong, and he gave us that opportunity to save our souls, so that we could be in heaven one day. That's the good news. Without the good news, we'd be condemned to exclusion from heaven. If dying in the state of sin would mean eternal damnation. Our Lord came to save us from that. That doesn't mean that all you have to do is believe and be saved. That's unfortunately the grave error propagated by Martin Luther. Just believe and you're saved. No, it's obviously involves more than that. It's not just those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. So we have to accept all of the teachings of Christ, not just select a few that we like. Accept all of them. They come from God. And live a life of holiness, of striving to please God. Then we are living the gospel in our daily lives. But today, that very strong theme is about sharing our faith, about preaching the faith. What would be a good gospel passage to reflect on? I go back to the Feast of the Ascension when we read in St. Mark's Gospel. This is just before our Lord ascends into heaven. Remember, he had been with his apostles and disciples for 3 years. And during that time, of course, he accomplished our redemption with his most sorrowful and painful passion and death. But he was risen now. He's going to heaven. And just before he ascends into heaven, he says, go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. That's from St. Mark's Gospel. There's nothing equivocal about that. Preach the gospel. If you believe it, you'll be saved. If you don't, you will be lost for all eternity. Another passage we could reflect on is from St. Matthew's Gospel. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So what do we deduce from these gospel passages? We deduce that there is only one way to salvation, and that is through the way that Jesus Christ taught us and the Catholic Church continues to teach to us. And this goes directly against the pluralism that is so prevalent in our time. Just pick any religion. As long as you're following some kind of religion, you're good. That directly goes against these gospel passages. Our Lord didn't say, here's some suggestions. He didn't say, this is the better way. He said, it's the only way. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. And of course, believing to the extent that we literally practice what we believe. So it's definitely an unpopular point of view for us to say there's only one church founded by God, and it is to that church we must belong. That's not being very ecumenical, is it? And again, our pluralistic view is just, it finds it impossible to accept. You mean there's only one religion? That's what God said. So for us to even have the missionary spirit, we have to begin with that realization that that is the way given to us by God, and we're not free to reject it. So this is why the missionaries gave their lives, gave their efforts, gave their blood even to spread the gospel, because they loved people in all parts of the earth. Unfortunately, you know, the people from conquerors and colonizers that came from Europe, they looked upon these people as savages, as people to be conquered in many a case. But the missionaries saw a priceless, immortal soul in every one of those people. Remember, the gospel is for all nations, all races, all tribes. You know, in the Old Testament, there was that thinking that you had to be of Jewish blood in order to have a chance for salvation. But then when our Lord came, he opened it up to everyone. No longer do you have to be a Jew. Jew or Gentile, the gospel is equally for you. So this is the missionary attitude, the missionary spirit of the church. And as I said, the pluralism that's unfortunately very embedded in, it's been embedded in thinking for centuries even now. All religions are more or less good. And unfortunately, that terrible error even came into Vatican II. And we must remember, this is where the problem began. Not with what we see, the outrageous things happening in the modern Church of Vatican II today. I'm thinking right now of this synod on synodality, which is just handing away the Catholic faith even more than before, denying doctrines left and right. But it goes back to Vatican II. In the doctrine on ecumenism, that's where they gave away the store, so to speak, because in that decree it was said that now you can find salvation in other churches. See, that's where it went off the rails. So the problem isn't now so much, I mean, it's just a continued development, but it goes all the way back to those heretical documents. And that's not the only error in Vatican II. And if there's even one error, we can't say it's from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost doesn't make mistakes. You know, in the 1930s, there was a strong push for ecumenism, for pluralism. Let's just all get along, all the religions. And Pope Pius XI, the same one who instituted Mission Sunday, wrote the encyclical Mortalium Animos. And he acknowledged that that was the zeitgeist of the times. You know, let's get together, let's get along. Yes, we have differences, but let's see if we can just coexist and say, you know, everybody's okay. But in his encyclical Mortalium Animos, he very strongly condemned that. And he said, my dear brethren, he says, if we put the one true religion on the same level as all of the other churches, we have abandoned the entire concept of what has been revealed by God as the way to get to heaven. We've abandoned it. And that's what happens when you put all religions on an equal footing, so to speak, and you lose the missionary spirit. There's no longer the need, because salvation can now be found elsewhere. When you do that, I think it's Pope Pius XI who says it, or it's another teaching of the church, it will eventually lead to abandonment of, or no religion at all, because again, we've abandoned the entire concept of God has revealed the way that we are to follow. Because man-made religions now are being treated as the same value as God's revealed truth. Our Lord took the trouble, so to speak, not only to come down and redeem us, but to teach us, to give us the doctrines we must believe. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. How many religions are there that do reject Jesus Christ? How tragic. Because they cannot go to the Father. Let us have a missionary spirit ourselves. And I remember reading in a book about missionary activity in China in the 20th century. I forget the name of the book, but it talked about the zeal not only of the missionaries, but even of many of the Chinese people that became very fervent Catholics. And one of the societies that was instituted was the Legion of Mary. And I remember in one area, the expectation was that each member of the Legion of Mary was expected to bring 3 converts into the church every year. It was like their spiritual homework assignment. And I put that idea out to you. You know people that are not Catholics. You know that you have the true faith. What are you doing to share the Catholic faith with those people? And they need that to save their souls. Again, it's based on charity. We have to love people enough to share the truth of the Catholic faith. We too, even those that are not priests or religious, you can and you should have that missionary spirit. Bring people to the faith. Your own example will be one of the most powerful things. The way people see you act in daily life is one of the strongest advertisements for the Catholic faith. If you're just trying to blend in with the worldlings out there, then you're not the light on the candle on the candlestick, the city seated on the mountain, and you're not being the salt of the earth, the candle and the candlestick, and the city seated on the mountain. Our Lord included those ideas in the Sermon on the Mount, and he wasn't just talking about to priests and religious. He was talking to all of his followers. Actions speak louder than words. How do you live? How do you show your values to the people around you that are not of the faith? One of the things that I found so edifying, the late Mr. Jim Schindler, who made it a practice to hand out green scapulars. He so often did that. That's the missionary spirit of the church. And he urged people to pray the rosary, wear the scapular. Now, the brown scapular's benefit comes from those that are enrolled in it as Catholics. So that's why we say green scapulars are more fitting for converts. But the green scapular, the brown scapular, the rosary, share these devotions with others. Why? Because you love their souls, because you care for their salvation. I would like to close by reflecting upon this beautiful St. Therese stained glass window. And I've spoken about it before, but I've learned more things about it. And the question might be asked, why would you have a Carmelite saint here in this chapel that was built as a Jesuit chapel? But it's inspiring to read about the bishop who chose her as the patroness of his missionary land. And he was a Jesuit, Bishop Joseph Crimont. It's spelled C-R-I-M-O-N-T. I'll try to make a long story short here, but he grew up in France, and he knew her family. And he left France in 1880, I'm getting my dates mixed up here a little bit, but it was in the mid-1880s, and it was before St. Therese entered the convent, which was in 1888, because she died in 1897 after 9 years and became, of course, the great saint that she is. So he knew her. But how did this all happen? Well, he had to come to America because of the persecution of the church in France. Remember the Freemasonic governments that hated the Catholic religion. As a matter of fact, in 1905, I believe it was in that year, that the French government confiscated all of the Catholic churches in all of France. They said, we'll allow you to use them, but they now belong to us. So it's that kind of hostility to the faith. So Joseph Crimont is a Jesuit, young Jesuit, so he can't complete his studies for the priesthood in France, so he ends up going to America. And he's ordained a priest in Maryland. But then he must have been invited or assigned to participate in more of a missionary activity, which would be in the West, so he came to the Oregon province. And then he's assigned to go up to this new mission land called Alaska. And even as a priest, he's put in charge of the entire mission land there, the entire Alaska territory, millions of acres. And then in 1917, he's ordained a bishop. And in 1919, he chooses St. Therese as the patroness of his mission land. So that's why we see the Eskimo on the left-hand side of St. Therese, and we see the missionary holding the gold cross. Maybe that represents Bishop Father Crimont, later on Bishop Crimont, and he's looking up at her who is the patroness. And she wasn't canonized till 1925. So he was she must have been at least declared venerable. So that's why he made her the patroness of his mission. And then he was one of the ones overjoyed in 1925 when she was canonized as a saint. So he knew he had done the right thing by having her, whom he personally knew, as the patroness of his mission territory, all of the state of Alaska. His coat of arms is on the right-hand side. The Carmelite shield is on the left-hand side. And Bishop Crimont labored unremittingly till 1945, when at the age of 87 years old, he passed away. And the governor of Alaska commanded for all flags, at least on government buildings, to fly at half-mast for 3 days in honor of this man who had done so much. By the time Bishop Crimont died, there was at a minimum 10,000 Catholics, most of them natives, that were converted to the Catholic faith. So here we have our own Mission Sunday stained glass window, which conveys so much. And again, she's the patroness. The one that was hidden in the Carmelite convent for 9 years, she didn't go out and preach, but she supported the missionaries by her prayers, her sacrifices, and her love. And so that's what Mission Sunday is about. the love of souls, sharing our Catholic faith with them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.